Resolution 26-082, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:37.
6:37 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-083, moved by Councilor Pickens and second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on March the 3rd, 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. Honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years. We pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into regular session, so we'll have roll call once again.
Councilor Morley Haskell.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Mike Heckman.
Clerk Administrator Carly Burton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Ward. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, for me, 15.1.
Yes, Councilor Haskell declares conflict of interest for 15.1.
Okay, thank you. So we're down to 14.1. And then Resolution 26-084, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the February 17th, 2026 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 15.1.
I will leave the room. I will leave the room.
I didn't want to walk away with it hooked on.
I know.
Resolution 26-085, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft conditions met letter for consent application number B09/2025 Haskell, and further authorize the clerk to sign the letter and send it to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion? I think it's well done, and all the information is there that was requested. I guess there was just one typical English teacher again typo for number three. I don't know that word is and or any. Applicant convey any portion of Broadbent Road. Okay. That's all. But the rest looks good. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To item 16.1, I have resolution 26-086, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of McKellar Public Library Board meeting minutes from November the 24th, 2025, and January the 19th, 2026, for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
You're a really good rep, I must say. Debbie, you give them a whole council report to them. And I wouldn't dare bring up about a road at the recreation meeting. I'd be shocked.
On to 17.1. Resolution 26-087, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the council, the corporation of the township of Keller, is hereby received report T-2026-03, investment report as of December 31st, 2025. Treasurer Roshan Kantia for information purposes. Discussion of that report. Councillor Kekkonen.
I want to thank the treasurer for providing this report because I was quite shocked to find out that municipal money was being invested without, number one, council being aware of it. Secondly, that the municipality does not have an investment policy, and in order to be able to make an investment, municipalities are required to have an investment policy. That's to ensure that, other municipalities around here, you can look up for an example, Perry Sound has an investment policy, and it must include requirements taking into account the municipality's objectives for return on investment, risk tolerance, and the need for liquidity. So this money was invested, you know, weeks prior to our first budget discussions, when liquidity of funds is of utmost importance, so that the projects that the municipality wants to work on, the funds are available for those projects and not tied up in an investment for, you know, a period of X amount of years. So I think the next thing we have to do now is to get an investment policy before on the table for council to approve, and to ensure that these investment reports are presented annually as required by legislation.
Councillor Zulak.
In light of that, I do believe it was a good move that was made, because it was just for 1 year and it was to end at 4.05% interest, which would give us an extra $6,700. I think it, even though it was maybe lacking some of the procedure, I think it was a good move. And I think it was done in the best interest of the township anyways.
What was that figure you used? I think it's a $40,000
investment. Yeah, but it says accrued interest income as of December 31st, 2025.
Yeah, but by October, November,
yeah,
it would
be quite a bit more. So I think it was...
As interest rates were dropping.
Yes, and I think... that's what he did, just, you know, in the best interest of the township to try and get some extra money.
Okay. Councillor Ryan?
When I looked at what we're earning on that investment versus what we're earning on our surplus funds at CIBC, it's a substantial difference to our benefit.
Yeah.
It's quite material. When this was being considered, I don't recall how it started, but, I mean, I got talking to Roshan about this and then went and checked out the corporate credit union things, and actually this is a highly rated investment and quite credible. So, I mean, I think this is good. I won't argue that we should have a policy that kind of provides the framework for these things for us to review and or accept. But I think in this case, at the very least, he's done a great job of it. Again, in terms of liquidity, I can't answer that. I'm not involved in that at enough depth to know, but I'm pretty sure that Roshan thinks along that lane all the time. So,
yeah, I mean, that was posed to him at the time, too. It was a pre-budget sort of thing, and that money will be tied up. But he seemed to have the assurance, and we'll know as we talk budgets. I mean, our first budget indicates that we still have money for different projects. I don't know of any particular project that we can't do that's on the list because we don't have that $1 million. I think there's still money available to do those.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I mean, the policy should be there so that it can be reviewed by council.
And as well, that then all the council members know that there's money being invested and we didn't. There was maybe one counselor that had some discussion prior to, and I think that, you know, this is, with when it deals with municipal finances, every counselor should have the same information and be aware of what's going on with the township's finances.
I agree with that. I mean, I did not insert myself in this. I kind of fell into it, back into it. I don't recall exactly how we started the conversation, but then, like I said, I went digging and found very credible information about the investment. So.
Okay,
and about our security on the investment, from
right.
that point of view. So.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 17.2, Resolution 26-088, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulai. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive Report T-2026-04, Debenture Request for Belvedere Heights from Treasurer Roshan Cantilla for information purposes. Discussion? And I think before we discuss this to any great detail, I think there's been more information come out since this was put together. And I don't know who wants to speak to that, but maybe rather than a debenture, maybe a loan guarantee. Councilor Zulai.
Okay. So, yes, I was in talking with Carly and Roshan, you know, trying to get this debenture straight in my head. And so anyways, I sent something to Don Carmichael, who is the finance for Belvedere, and I asked him if he could clarify some things for me about the debenture process. It's my understanding, if this is correct, McKellar puts forward an application to IO Infrastructure Ontario for $700,000, and if the application is approved, does that money come to McKellar from Infrastructure Ontario? And the McKellar transfers the total, $700,000, to Belvedere, and is it put in a special account, or where does it go to? Or if McKellar gets the money, do they keep that amount and only forward $51,000 per year? Just trying to figure out. And so he sent back to me that that IO Infrastructure Ontario, the money would come to McKellar, that McKellar would then send it to Belvedere, and then Belvedere sends it to McDougall, Seguin, and Carling to pay off the 11.5 construction loan. And then the interest principal for all eight municipalities is paid by Belvedere from the construction funding subsidy and the economy of scale. And you may have heard that the CAO has met recently, and I would rather have a loan guarantee than an Infrastructure Ontario loan. And he's working on that, and it looks like we may have some good news from the TD Bank. And so he'll be sending this to the board, and as soon as TD finalizes the term sheet. So if this works, then the municipalities would not have to handle any money, just sign the loan guarantee with TD, which was, I think, basically what we were all thinking was going to happen in the very beginning. So we'll see what happens, and I'll keep you updated on that, and hopefully keep our fingers crossed, because it's a lot of rigmarole if the townships have to each take out a debenture. So that's the best I can tell you. Any questions?
Hopefully they'll find out quickly as we're doing a budget.
Yes,
so
because they're wanting this, right? They wanted the applications in by June the 26th, right? So, but anyways, we're all, that's our home. Right? Belvedere is our home. We're all owners in Belvedere, so
yeah.
We have to.
The benefit of that,
we don't want it
is
to
that
close.
We won't be diminishing our borrowing ability from Infrastructure Ontario.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a huge benefit.
Councillor Kirkman.
And we want to get the numbers accurate, too, because when the representatives from Belvedere come in, and each seems like the story seems to change along the way, like, how can you trust anything that's being said when, you know, when you go back even years back, you know, that the savings from Belvedere were going to pay for the pool, you know? So, like, let's get those numbers. Let's ensure that they're scrutinized and they're fact-checked and ensure that what we're getting is not a sales pitch,
right,
but is actually accurate financial numbers.
That's why I feel if we can get the... loan guarantee, that would be the best thing for us.
Yeah, I don't even know about the life lease, where that's sitting. That's another old issue, I guess. But
well, life lease seems to be going along really great. They
yeah.
seem to be, everybody seems to be quite happy compared to what they were a few years ago when they brought up the campus of care. And that just put a, you know, stick of dynamite up everybody. So, so now it seems quite good. And Belvedere, well, I think that's about it in the committee report.
Yeah.
But the other thing with the life lease units was that there was a change in the original contract.
That's right.
Without anyone's knowledge or ability to, you know, have any input. You know, it was just presented. And how do you change an established contract that already has the terms and conditions of the contract over decades established and all of a sudden have them a change in a contract? So I think that really spurred the...
Oh, for sure. That's very upsetting to... You know, you're getting 80, 90-year-old people and they're telling them stuff like this, which isn't right. So, anyways, that's another issue.
Okay, any further discussion? We're not really doing anything with this. We're just receiving for information until we get more information. And time is of the essence. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 19.1, we have resolution 26-089, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas the Board of Directors of West Prairie Sound Smart Community Network, Inc., having quorum, passed a resolution on January the 24th, 2025, to propose the voluntary dissolution of the corporation at its next annual general meeting, the AGM. And whereas the AGM was held on May the 13th, 2025, at Canadore College, Prairie Sound, and quorum of members was not achieved, therefore, the proposed vote on dissolution could not be conducted. And whereas pursuant to the Ontario Not-for-Profit Corporations Act, ONCA, member consent for dissolution may be obtained either by, number one, a special meeting requiring a two-thirds consenting vote of members, or number two, written consent requiring unanimous 100% consent of all members. And whereas the corporation has indicated its intention to proceed by way of written consent of all members, now, therefore, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby provide its written consent as a member to the voluntary dissolution of West Prairie Sound Smart Community Network, Inc., in accordance with the provisions outlined pursuant to the Ontario Not-for-Profit Corporations Act, and further that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute any documents required to give effect to this resolution. Discussion? Now, this smart community predates me, so I'll rely on some members from the previous council and what transpired then. According to this resolution, the way it's written, we're still part of it. I wasn't aware that we were.
As far as, go ahead.
Councillor Kekkonen.
I'm just wondering, upon notice to members, the AGM took place May 13th, 2025. I don't recall receiving any correspondence indicating there was some urgency for members to attend. I don't recall even any correspondence about the AGM. If it could have been dealt with there at the board level, then that would have been good at that point in time.
Well, that's what makes me wonder if we're still part of it. That's why we didn't get notice or attend. And we'd have to go back through the resolutions, I guess.
Yes.
But then if they're requesting us to sign off on this, then it seems to indicate we are a board member.
Well, that's the question we have, because it says we're a member, but we were a member. I'm just not sure we still are.
Yeah. We will be if they have money to distribute.
That's right, yeah. Yes, that's true.
I'm just wondering about that second page that has the key strategic pillars and achievements January 2026. Is that just sort of a summary of what the SMART could accomplish over its term of existence, or?
Yeah, that's a good question.
This is the answer.
And I don't know how many of those things could have been accomplished with or without the SMART community. A lot of it seemed to be tangential, that they were there, yes, and put forward. forward a vote, I guess, to support something, but some of these things I'm reading were going to happen anyway from the province. So, Councillor Zulak?
It's like, this was a long time ago. I remember going to a smart community meetings, and I don't even remember ever seeing anything, you know, come across the council table about the smart community. But I think, if I recall, it was talking about the fiber optic. Yeah. And then, so maybe once the fiber optic came in, they sort of just backed off. Do you think? Because we'd never heard nothing.
My brother was a member of this committee.
Yeah.
When I saw this information yesterday, I phoned him and asked him. Yeah, that's exactly what it was for, to build out high-speed internet, to
yeah.
be simple terms. So a number of things. Certainly, fiber is a big one, and so is Starlink, to tell you the truth. And both those things kind of came along, nothing to do with this committee. They came along because there was money to be made by the telcos and others to do that, and just made this redundant, quite frankly. And
that's
it
nice.
Kind of died a slow, natural death. But,
yeah.
And that's the fairest way of saying it. I'm not critical of them or anything else. I think it was a good objective. I don't know that they would ever achieve those results, other than they happen because companies providing those services make money out of it, and therefore that's why it happens. So, I give them credit. I know they met regularly. There's a number of members of that committee that I know socially. So, I mean, I would hear about it. And because my brother, I mean, they talked to me about it like I knew, and I mostly just nod my head. So, but I don't think
there were no closed
money.
Meetings.
What's that?
They weren't closed meetings.
I don't know.
No, they're open public meetings.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what we have to confirm is that we're still a member. We're saying that we are a member by signing this, and with no problem with the dissolution. Should we defer until we get confirmation? I don't want to say that, yes, our vote counts, and we're not really part of it. So I don't know how you'd research that necessarily. You'd have to go back through the...
There is a resolution in 2018
yeah.
to authorize Tammy Wiley to attend the PS Smart Community meeting and
yeah.
appoint as voting member as well.
And there was nothing since then?
No, nothing after that.
But there were meetings after that. I recall I was at the last one I remember was at the Perry Selma Museum. It was a January meeting.
We need the year.
So we asked if they have their. Would be in the last couple of years, anyways.
Oh, okay. Well, the council feels comfortable saying yes to this. I mean, it's dissolving, so it's not a matter of one starting up. But. And I don't know how much money was paid into it, whether there's any money, like I mentioned, Information Center, when it folded, then money came back to the municipality based on what their contribution was.
That's fair.
But I'm not sure
yeah.
how much was paid into the smart community, if any. Any further discussion on this one? It may just be some paperwork, but... put it at the council then, because I'll just do it in a certain order and see how you vote on it. So, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 19.2, Resolution 26-090, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Haskell. Whereas the Jones Island Rear Lighthouse is a recognized federal heritage building, and a long-standing navigational landmark within the Georgian Bay region, has served as an important symbol of the area's maritime history for over 130 years and is widely recognized by residents, visitors, and local tourism operators throughout Westbury Sound. And whereas the Canadian Coast Guard, the CCG, has announced plans to demolish the existing structure and replace it with a modular 80-foot metal tower, and whereas concerns have been raised that the proposed demolition would result in an irreversible loss to the region and may not align with the spirit and intent of the Heritage Lighthouse Protection Act, and whereas community members are requesting that the federal government and the Canadian Coast Guard pause demolition plans to allow for meaningful public engagement in and a full review of restoration alternatives. Now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby to support the preservation of the Jones Island Rear Lighthouse. And further, the Council directs staff to prepare and forward a formal letter of support to the appropriate federal ministers, the Canadian Coast Guard, and the local member of Parliament, requesting the demolition plans be paused pending public consultation and the exploration of restoration options, and to circulate copies of this resolution to neighboring municipalities within the West Parry Sound area for their consideration and support. Discussion? Councillor Hassan?
Yeah, it's. I find it hard to believe that they would even consider demolishing, you know, a historical site like that. All of those buildings out there on Georgia Bay, if you're out there and you see them, they just look amazing. Eh? So it's just hard to believe it would even be considered. So I would certainly support this to make sure they don't get demolished.
Okay, other comments? The only thing I just caution council that as soon as you support something, sometimes the handout comes next. So how much are you supporting us for? So.
And we got no money, by the way.
Yeah, but there's a line in there. I know their letter that comes with it say that they're approaching the government for a $1 million restoration fee is what they think it would cost. I'm just wondering if they don't get that grant, will they be coming back to municipalities? So do you support in principle? Do you support financially? Do you just resolution saying that you support it? We're sending it out to the government as well and different members of parliament. So again, I just caution that I don't know whether you're thinking of money attached to this resolution or not. So, Councillor Zula.
No, I'm not thinking of money attached to this resolution. but I'm thinking they can put money out for all different kinds of things. I'm sure they could put that money out. They're putting money out for something going from the East Coast, some pipeline. It's going. I just heard about it today. Some pipeline for propane going from the East Coast to Ottawa.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one. So
yeah, something like that. And it's like going through, I forget how many thousands of kilometers of land it's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure these lighthouses are in municipalities, just like McKellar had the two heritage buildings preserved in our township, so we put money into it and we applied for grants to help out, so wherever these lighthouses are, the municipalities should, you know, start the process.
Yeah, it's a supporting letter too, so maybe it could be mentioned in there, something to the effect that, you know, we're supporting in principle, we think it's important. I'm not sure who's writing the letter. I have a pretty good idea. But,
but when you say in principle, that means?
Well, it's whatever you want it to mean. You're not committing yourself to anything necessarily by saying that. But
we like the idea, you know,
right.
In principle.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 19.3, Resolution 26-091, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas the West Parry Sound District Museum has submitted a request to the Township of McKellar for a financial contribution in the amount of $2,000 towards its 2026 operational costs. And whereas the museum has advised that 5% of the contribution will be allocated to future capital repairs and infrastructure improvements, including but not limited to upgrades to the elevator, security system, and other investments necessary to maintain a safe and secure environment for the preservation of artifacts. And whereas the balance of the contribution will support 2026 operational expenses, including anticipated exhibitions and programming. Now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approve a contribution in the amount of $2,000 to the West Parry Sound District Museum to support its 2026 operations and capital reserve allocation. And further, the Council acknowledges the museum's continued efforts in preserving and promoting the cultural and historical heritage of the West Parry Sound area and thanks the Board of Directors for its ongoing work. Discussion? I think we've noted in the past that we have our own heritage room and we're trying to collect things locally, and that we used to sit on the board when it first started up, when they were first operating and building that site on Tower Hill. And I should note as well, I think in their notes, that they're coming up this year with a new logo design as well, so it seems to be contagious. And we'll see where that goes. But 2,000 to me is, you know, it's showing that we still have an interest in the area. But we just didn't want to compete necessarily with our local. Other thoughts from council?
Yeah, I would just echo your thoughts. I agree with your comments totally. And it is it's a wonderful building with a lot of good artifacts in it. And it's to me, it's worth contributing to keep it going. It's a wonderful site up there.
Okay, any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to unfinished business as of March 3rd, 2026. Council, what to think of the list, whether we have to add, subtract.
I have an update.
Okay.
For the 150th posters, we did have a contractor come in and quote a thin wood frame. So keep in mind that there's 15 posters. So for the contractor to fabricate these custom frames, install, have the equipment for scaffolding, whatnot, the total's around $7,800. So if council wants to keep that figure in mind for budget, then you can decide whether that's a priority for 2026 or if it's something that we can look at in the future. But we just wanted to make council aware of that figure.
Opinions?
Is it possible, would they be giving us some sort of like either diagram or description exactly as to what they are doing?
I can provide the quote and the image that was rendered.
Okay, yeah, that would help. It's maybe a little higher than I was hoping, but if it looks super, we can consider it. You know, it's, something's got to be done. I was playing pickleball in there today, and a couple of balls went up in there. Just luckily, they're not going up in there hard, kind of thing, where if some really good player ever hit a ball up there hard and hooked onto it, could rip it, you know, and that would just be terrible and embarrassing.
Councilor Hassan?
Oh.
Oh, sorry. Councilor Zulak. He's on his board.
I'm not ashamed. wasn't there, Mike, didn't you have different suggestions too?
So Joy Allen, who was the sort of the designer and helped install the posters up there, she was going to go take a look, but the historical committee did take a look, and a couple of suggestions was that double-sided tape with Velcro strip along each edge, because the sound proofing behind it is something that the Velcro would stick to. Another suggestion was double-sided tape and the coroplast sheets, which are 8x4 sheets, and they're approximately $30 each. And one coroplast sheet would do, I think, two. I think those things are about 2 feet wide, so one sheet will do two of those posters, and that'll keep the entire thing rigid, so it's not just the edges. That would be, the entire thing would be fastened to the coroplast. Coroplast doesn't really weigh anything, so there wouldn't be any need for any modifications on how things are currently fastened. So those are two options. So Joy Allen was going to take a look as well and, you know, see if she had any suggestions.
Would those things dry out and lose their adhesion over time? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
That would be my concern. Is, you know, first, when they're first up, of course, but what happens a year or two later? Are they so dried out they just fall off? I don't know.
A lot of times things bond permanently.
You
want to tape on something and try to get the tape off.
I don't know enough about either of them, but yeah, so.
I don't, I'm not sure, so.
That would be my only concern, is, and to at least, you know, find some material that supports the fact that they would be long-lasting, right?
Yeah, I don't know what it actually does to the actual material underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was put up for a reason, because the quality of the sound's not very good in there. In an 8-gym, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And whether even the frame is going to have an effect, I don't know who we ask about that, but something to consider, I think. Would it change the actual sound in the, and it won't be for the better, I wouldn't think, but I don't know. But if they're hitting pickleballs up against it, I don't know whether it's going to last it much longer anyway. But to me, that was the idea way back when we started volleyball, I think, in there, and basketball. And the concern was that not only the walls, but the lights, because people were hitting it up so high. So a couple of those events were ruled out. But I don't know, before we do anything, I just want to make sure that the sound isn't affected by whatever we're going to do. Because it takes up most of that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Carly, in that quote, is there, it's just the frame?
No, there's a backing.
No, I meant, like, is there a front covering?
No, you stopped one more. So he's going to use a quarter-inch plywood on the back and
yeah.
a spray adhesive to put that down first, and then just the thin frame.
Frame, so actually nothing on the front.
Nothing on the front, no.
Okay.
Yeah, quarter-inch plywood
nothing
attached to
that
wall,
right.
I don't know.
That quarter-inch, this is what we used, I think, quarter-inch for the frames of the frame photo project at St. Stephen's, and that thinner plywood, it works. Like, it's, if you don't have a frame to make it rigid on the one side, that stuff twists all over the place.
So yeah, we'd want to see how heavy duty the frame is they're going to use, and how well it's going. Hopefully, maybe he shows how secure it's going to be to the wall too, so that would keep it, you know, so as it cures, it would cure flat. So anyways, yeah, it'd be interesting to see, kind of. It's a start, right direction. Someday we'll get it off our unfinished business, talk about adding on, if we want to add anything on, is it was mentioned today, and it's, I don't know if it's been brought up in the past, where, yes, when they go to play pickleball, sometimes it's so warm in there, they got swinging windows open and everything, so we're wasting heat out of the windows. Programmable thermostats, whether we could look into that, if that's a possibility.
Can't you just adjust the thermostats there while you're there? Because that temperature drops pretty quick when you adjust the thermostats, and even a couple of degrees is noticeable.
Right. Just if it was programmable, you could say have it start, you know, a couple hours prior to pickleball, so the temperature. So you're saying as soon as they go in, they knock the thermostat down. Well, it's already too warm in there, and you'd actually save money if you cut the heat back sooner. So, anyways, I don't know whether it's worth looking into or just suffer.
If you're going to tamper with the heat, check with the seniors first.
Yeah, because
if the group before that.
Well, isn't there a thing on there not to touch it?
It's locked.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that was the problem before. Everybody was adjusting it to their own.
And staff are mindful of the programming coming in and do adjust, you know, putting it down for sports groups, turning it up for senior cards. So it is managed now, but we can look into programmable thermostat.
That's right.
We could certainly put in either an Ecobee or a Nest thermostat in there, which would allow us to do that and even set the schedule for the whole week, the whole month, whatever we want, and to lock it down to a single device, like a PC or something, to let us do that. I have that at home, and I've had one for Lord knows how long, but it would do that. Now, the only thing we would have to be careful of is to make sure that you can't alter it on the device itself. But again, when I was working, this was a constant problem in banks, because every person that came along thought it was either too hot or too cold, and they're all playing with it. But you can buy covers that just lock on over above. You know, it still is reading the air temperature at that spot, but it locks it down so somebody can't physically alter the device, right? But and we could set it up for a member of staff to be able to modify it based upon our schedule, right? And it works. I've had one in my house since I moved here, so 10 years, so without ever having to replace it or anything else. So I think I don't know that it's applicable in this situation, but it'll give you reminders for things like filters and all the rest on my furnace in this case, but I know this is a different situation. I don't think you have to have that, but it's quite easy to do, and they're not expensive. Ecobees are about half the price of a Nest thermostat, but certainly any HVAC contractor would know those things really well. So.
And that's exactly what I was thinking of. Technology today, yeah. You know, there would be stuff like that. And because I think it was last week, did we rent the youth room out to somebody? I went down there, there was two ladies down there working. And they said, of course, asked how everything was. And they said, wonderful, but it's cold down here, kind of thing. So I went up and seen Megan, and she didn't know how we would get it warmer down there. For that, so that's something to keep in mind too, that if we are going to think we're going to rent that out in the future, be able to, because it's kept cooler, which it should be, because we're not going to spend money heating a room that's not being used, so just to keep that in mind also.
Are those controlled by like thermostats today, do you know?
No, I don't know.
I don't think so, but I've never seen one if there's one down
yeah.
there. So.
I don't think there is.
And assuming it's coming from the same heat source, that poses a problem to have multiple thermostats making demands, right?
Yeah, it's probably, I would almost think if there's not a thermostat down there, it's not possible without
yeah.
a big expense.
Yeah. But I think any HVAC contractor worth their salt would know how to do this in their sleep, so
mm-hmm.
hell, I can do it, so.
Well, there we go. But also, I guess, like, the staff would have to know what's coming up on the weekend, if there's a wedding for something,
sure.
for instance, so just can't have it the same all the time, I guess you have to adjust it.
But it gives you, like, when you want to look at the schedule, as it's called, I mean, it gives you the 7 days, and you can put it in by the time of the day and the temperature you want, and whether it's heating or cooling or whatever, because, of course, it has to change, especially at the shoulder seasons. It's most difficult then, right? So.
Okay, any new business?
Yes,
Counselor.
I do. Already said enough probably for one
yeah,
meeting,
quite a list
but
there, yeah.
Let's keep it going. And this is about the advertising sign down at Center and Herndville Roads that really isn't being used to advertise all our different events and that. So I'm wondering if it's possible, I wonder if staff could send a memo to our different committees that may want to advertise on that board, which would be REC, Library, and Historical. I don't know if there's any others kind of thing. And if we can find out what they want to advertise, if they can do what events they're going to do through the year and the date of it and the information that they would like on that board for that time, if we could actually do a schedule for the year of the events, when that everything should be changed in that sign. Does that sound like a doable thing?
I'm not sure what letters we have available. That was an old system.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a conflict because in the summer there are multiple groups wanting to get on between the library, the market, and the committees. So, and then you have to physically have a staff member go out and change it every single time. So it is a hard board to manage. I like the idea of a yearly schedule so that staff member knows what days they need to go and change the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's realistic. It could be for the committees because you're planning events months ahead, but I'm not sure for the library. But
do you think the library run it by the library if they
I can run it by.
Thought they could plan, have a meeting
yeah.
and plan? The recreation just did this and laid out all our events for the year. Not didn't get right into the fine detail on every event. Well, if you don't have the fine detail, it won't go on the board, but at least put this event's coming kind of thing. So
yeah, then they could contact the right. The person going by could contact it. They say, oh, this is coming up, right? Then if you're interested in it, you could contact the library.
Right.
Like if you don't...
Right, if you don't have the exact information. But I would just, instead of it sitting there not being used, it's either take it the heck out of there because it looks horrible anyway, at least put it to use. So, and if you're thinking that that's too much for staff, well, maybe, should I say this? Maybe I would volunteer to change it as long as staff has laid out.
Have you got something for him to sign?
As long as, because I don't want to be in a situation where I'm going and changing and some committee goes, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah,
that's
going to be the problem. Yeah. Well, no, staff has got, sometimes you got to say this is the way it's going to be. And so you have this, the what the events are coming up. Okay, as soon as that event is done, the next day, somebody goes and puts on for the next event. I don't see it being rocket science. I know it's for staff. Yeah, okay, hey, you got to go there. Well, I'm busy doing something else kind of thing. But I honestly would. I drive by there all the time. As long as I have a list given to me by staff saying, okay, Morley, this is what's got to be put on that board on this date, I would do it.
Sure.
Morley, are you talking about the sign that's on the south side of Vertical by Center?
No, it's on the...
It's on the north side beside the church.
At the church.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to be clear, because there is a physical sign which is obscured by the snow right now, on the south side of Herville, right there, right at the intersection. Right, it's advertising signs.
Oh, yeah. For business.
Yes, I just was wondering if that's what you were talking about.
No.
Because one of the problems with it is when there's snow piled up there, you can't even see it. But
display, what do you call these signs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know the sign you mean, that's fine.
Yeah, so I'm just, because it's sitting there, it looks horrible, but at least let's have it used.
It does get used.
It is used. Yeah, it does get used, especially in the summer.
It's not this time of year.
No.
Right. Yeah. So.
Right now,
but I do have high
boots. It's the Christmas party on December the 12th. So. Yeah.
And can we get in writing that he's going to shovel a path to the sign
in
the wintertime? That's when he goes to change the.
He's going to take his snow.
I dare you to try me and see whether I can do this. If you just lay it out, so we'll give each committee a month to come up with your activities.
I don't think the library would be able to do that.
No.
They
could probably say the library has these different events, but I don't think...
For the month, but not...
Yeah, but I don't think
right
they could
here.
Give...
They're
yeah,
not scheduling
no.
way off
or
in the future.
They could say the library has cricket, the library has, different things.
The
3D printer. Yeah, 3D printer, drop-in. But I don't think they could actually... That's what I'm saying. If people knew what was going on at the library, if you could make a list of what's going on at the library, and then for more information, go to the web page or contact the library, and they could give you the dates and everything if that would work.
Yeah, the sign is not really high tech. I mean,
no.
You can't do an awful lot with it.
No, there's only a few
and that
lines.
That was a problem when we went to the electronic, because that one was, like I say, you didn't have enough letters sometimes to put up there, and one of the older signs we had too ended up going to Hall, I think, and so it was put down there to serve a purpose, and we're hearing from one person it's not serving its purpose, maybe, and not from staff that it is, so maybe they'll investigate further and get back to us.
Okay, so what I can do then, if this doesn't sound like this is a good idea, is I guess give staff a list of all recreations events for the year and say please have them on there prior. Is that kind of where we're going then?
We can try, but then there's limited space on the board, and there's other, like the library, the market, they also want to be on the board, so space is our biggest problem in the summer. And just allocating the correct amount of time for different people's events and ensuring that everyone's sharing the board equally, it's a bit of a fight in the summer.
Especially if two events fell at the exact same time.
Yes. Yep.
I can see that.
My observations are that we lack the letters to do things because I see us using abbreviations that sometimes I don't know what the abbreviation means, but and I understand if you haven't got the letters, you haven't got the letters, but I'm sure we could order more, but then the other alternative is there's no space to put them on, so.
Yeah, we could try find if we could order more, it's just the age of it, I don't know if they would make them anymore, that's the other problem, but we could definitely check.
What about a projector? Projecting up onto the side of the church. You can get much more of it.
Really, like electricity
that.
There, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good one. But I'd rather, if it's not a good service purpose, I hate the looks of it there. I think it doesn't look good. I'd rather see a modern sign, but we'd want it to be used. So what we'll try for this year maybe is I'll give you a list of the Recreation Committee events for the year and just hope for the best, I guess, that they get up there.
Okay, anything else in your list?
New business?
I hesitate to ask, but...
Yeah. Nope, that's it until we get to council reports.
Okay, that's coming. Any other new business? Okay, public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
I'll take a breather.
You can take a breather. Okay, Councilman Zulak, you had a point.
Okay, I just wanted to, from the library, I just wanted to let everyone, they wanted to thank the township for that resolution on BSILC C-15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then also there is an update that an advocacy group concerning the amendment to Bill C-15, the changes reinstates protections to the library materials postage rate. And so the ministers have voiced their opposition to the elimination of the library rate in the bill. So hopefully it will be eliminated.
Mm.
And then Belvedere. And the last time I spoke to you, spoke about Belvedere, the administration was going to be moving down to the basement. And the move was for December the 16th and the 17th. The dates were all set and everything. Well, they're still upstairs. Everything is ready. They're waiting on Bell. Bell has to come in and hook up their intercoms and the phones and all that. And they're all ready. They're just waiting for them to come and do it. So once they come in and do that, and time is of the essence because they want to start the upstairs to do the building upstairs. So they're right on Bell's case, and hopefully by the next meeting they'll have that all done, and they'll be all in and down there, downstairs. And that's it for Belvedere, except you wanted to talk about something? No?
Well, you mentioned life lease, but if everything's
okay. Yeah, life lease is doing good. They're happy. The person that we have that is sort of taking care of the construction is doing a fantastic job, and he's constantly in contact, and so is the administrator, Deborah Randall Woods. They meet with the people in Life Lease every month. They have a meeting with them, which was promised to them before, but it never seemed to happen. So if they have any concerns with noise and general construction or anything, or elevators, they're all addressed. It's all being addressed, and they seem to be quite happy with it. And actually, during the fall there, when the construction was going on, it was like a really great. Everybody would get out there and sit and watch all the stuff that was going on. It was a bit of entertainment. So it seems good.
As I know, there was a concern at one point about the entrance being that close.
Yeah.
They're okay with that.
Yeah, no, they're good with that now. Okay. And that's another thing. They're waiting on the doors for the entrance because they have to move the entrance downstairs. So it's Bell and the entrance doors. And once that's established, then they're good to go.
Okay.
Well, if they get a gap in their schedule, they could always head over to the high school.
And it is going much better than the high school, I must add. We do see an end.
That's a pretty low bar, but I don't know.
That's it for me.
Any other committee reports? Workshop?
Yes.
Councillor Haskin?
Just had a recreation meeting. Had Perry Sound Area Planning Board, which is up to Carly or yourself to report on that. But recreation, everything's going well. Pickleball and badminton's all of a sudden getting a big surge of attendance. Arm wrestling isn't happening now. The two arm wrestling tables down there, one belongs to the Ags Society and one to James?
Yes,
is
I
it?
Believe so.
Okay, and so it's okay just to leave James is here then?
Yes, he's fine with that.
Okay, he's fine with that,
yeah.
And the township staff is fine with that, okay. We had the Kids Fish and Fun Day, which turned out wonderful, and the kids beat the firefighters again. And I'd like to thank the firefighters, if they're listening, that a lot of them showed up. And they were pretty good losers, too, you know. We had the snowmobile run. We had 25 machines go on the run to the hills, and then we came back here for hot chocolate and coffee, which was, and that, so that event turned out really well. At our meeting, we finalized dates for all our 2026 events. See, that's why I brought that up.
Well, you should post those somewhere.
Yeah, I guess we just kind of wasted our time. But anyway, we did it anyway.
But you have to provide the letters to do it.
So we had 12 events for the year. The one we have to talk to the library about, and that would be the trick or trunk we do to see what the library is doing at Halloween, because they also had...
Joined in with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you wanted to put on that on their agenda, see if they could set a day. See, the trouble is this year, we always did it the Saturday before Halloween. This year, Halloween falls on the Saturday. So that's a little bit of... To me, it sounds like you still got to try to have a prior. I think Rec decided that maybe the Friday, not do it the Friday night instead of on Halloween Saturday night. I think is where Rec headed on that one. And that's it for my report.
Okay, sounds good. Anyone else? I don't know whether the planning, whether we had to do a resolution, did we? Or?
The planning board approved the budget. So the McKellar's levy will be $13,000 for this year. $10,000 will be part of the operating budget, and $3,000 will go into reserves. Just with this year being a transition year, we don't know. We're projecting revenues, but aren't quite sure. Same with expenses, so just to have a bit of a buffer there.
Okay, sounds good.
And we're thinking of a name change for the planning sound area planning board. It should be changed to something else.
Yeah, it was interesting that Whitestone maybe recommended, or at least the representative did, that it be McKellar Whitestone.
That's McKellar first. Yeah. Well, alphabetical, all that.
I guess. Councilor Zuba.
I was just wondering, so all of the meetings are Zoom meetings?
Yes.
So do they ever plan to have in-person meetings? Since it's just Whitestone and McKellar that's in it?
No.
No,
they changed their procedural bylaw to only have virtual meetings. And if there were a big meeting that a large attendance would be, if there was going to be a large attendance, then the meeting would be held in the McKellar Township Council Chambers.
And the reason I brought that up was because I forgot to mention that in Belvedere, once they get the build underway, they're hoping to do all in-person meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they get the some space upstairs, within next couple months, then they will start doing some in-person meetings. There's been a lot of persuasion, quite a few people would like to have, because we had a couple in person and they really liked it because there's more communication back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Now, are those open to the public then?
They will be.
Okay. I know you're working on
it. We're working on it, and we're actually getting there.
More like a rent of some board space.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have the letters.
Okay, on to item 25, the consent agenda. I have resolution 26-092, moved by Councilor Hassan, second by Councilor Zulak. Resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda as presented. Anything you wish to discuss from that list? Question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to item 26, questions, comment period, related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on Zoom link? Hearing none. On to item 27.1. And resolution 26-093, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Kekkonen. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-12, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this third day of March 2026. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 28 of resolution 26-094, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
7:36
p.m. to meet again on March. March 17th, 2026, for a regular meeting of council or at the call of the mayor.